Live from the WTAD studios in the Lincoln Douglas building in downtown Quincy, it's time to pull up a chair and assemble today's WTAD News Roundtable.
Good day, Tri-States, and I guess the globe listening online at WTAD.com. This is the Wednesday edition of the News Roundtable. Coming up on the back half of today's show, we're going to have 18th Congressional District candidate Don Reince joining us. He was in town for the Tea Party candidate forum that was last week. He'll join us on the show on the back half today, and then I believe he's going to be in town tomorrow night at the Lincoln Reagan Day event. So we'll talk to him about his whereabouts and ask him some questions about the differences between he and Darren LaHood and what's going on in D.C. and the constituents of the 18th Congressional District, coming up on the back half of today's show. But first things first, I know there's a lot going on, and in with all the latest from the WTAD newsroom, let's say good morning to Scott Hardy, everybody.
Good morning, Quaid. Good morning, everybody. The Quincy Public Schools say they haven't heard about any planned student walkouts this morning as part of the planned national walkout over gun violence, which is going on now. QPS said yesterday afternoon that neither they nor Quincy High officials have, quote, received notification or confirmation of any students or student groups participating in the national walkout. QPS Public Information Officer Raquel Piazza said the administrative team has, quote, developed the necessary guidance. That means they'll be addressed on an individual basis with the student and their parent or guardian, quote, in accordance with what's best for the student and the school, quote. Quincy Notre Dame principal Mark McDowell said the situation's similar there at that school and that they'll also handle it on an individual basis. That walkout going on now until 10:17. To honor students killed on Valentine's Day at Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida. Now, the Illinois Senate Democrats are walking out of their session, and at least one Republican has walked out with them, Senator Chris Nybo. They are walking out in honor of that as well. Legislation may be introduced later this week that would let the Adams County Board have more elected officials on the proposed new 911 board. Board member Ryan Niekamp said last night that legislation to change language in a law passed last summer by the Illinois General Assembly may be introduced by 48th District State Senator Jill Tracy. Niekamp says he's hopeful the law, which now limits the county and all counties to one 911 board member, can be changed.
I think the language that's being proposed is fair, and it addresses our concern, and hopefully it resonates across the state, too. We'll just have to play by ear and see how it goes.
Niekamp said he'd like to see the county have three elected officials on the 911 board and that the county board may act on the intergovernmental agreement with the city by May, an agreement that the city has already agreed to. They have a July 1st deadline to approve that in order to continue to get state funding for 911 services. The county also rejected a bill for $117,000 from Blix Construction. It says is for extra work in clearing the site for the new county jail. Blix had the low bid of $677,000 in early 2017 to demolish six buildings on the site. Jail Subcommittee Chair Mark Peter said earlier that the company did the work without submitting a change order request to the board. The county board has delayed the vote for a month, and Peter said they tried to reach a settlement.
We went the extra 30 days hoping that we would get some kind of a resolution done on the difference there, and we didn't get anything accomplished, and so we felt like, you know, it was time to do something, to take some kind of action.
Peter says that it's now possible that the matter could go to court. I do believe we have an update. Apparently, some students at Quincy High are walking out.
Yeah, they're out in front of the school right now.
Can you tell how many there are?
I'm just on KHQA's social media feed, and it's a good number of students. I mean, they're all out in front of the high school, hand in hand, around the front entryway to the parking lot. So from one end to the other. So there's a good number of them.
Okay. All right, so we'll have more on that for you a little bit later on today. In other news, a Quincy man who's accused of or who is allegedly responsible for causing Blessing Hospital to be locked down for 3 hours in late February has now been indicted on six counts. Adams County Grand Jury handed down those indictments last Thursday against Robert Sparks on counts of aggravated domestic violence, domestic battery, aggravated DUI, aggravated fleeing, and both felony and misdemeanor aggravated assault. Sparks was arrested on February 22nd after a high-speed chase on 30th Street that ended in the parking lot of Knapheide Manufacturing's headquarters. The incident started earlier that morning at a home in the 500 block of North 22nd, where a 49-year-old woman had been battered. Prosecutors say the battering happened 4 days before. Sparks is in the Adams County Jail on $1 million bond and will be back in court next Wednesday. A suburban Chicago man involved in a shooting incident in Quincy's historic business district last August has had abuse charges against him dropped. Charges of aggravated battery and domestic battery against Kendrick Page were dropped Monday by the Adams County State's Attorney's Office. Court records show he was due to go on trial next month on the charges, which were filed in the wake of the shooting incident, which happened at a parking lot near 4th and Hampshire. A Burlington, Iowa woman, Ashley Wilson, claimed she was being physically abused by Page and allegedly fired 4 shots at him in order to get away from him. Wilson faces 2 weapons use charges in the case and is due to be arraigned on Friday. She's free on $20,000 bond. A Ewing woman has admitted altering records at a bank where she worked to hide the theft of almost $15,000. Court records show that Megan Onning entered a guilty plea Thursday in Lewis County Circuit Court to 1 count of making false entries in records of a financial institution. In return, prosecutors dropped a charge of misapplication of funds of a financial institution. She was then sentenced to 5 years probation. She'll have to pay the money back. Prosecutors had said that law enforcement conducted an investigation last August about the internal theft of the money from the Ewing branch of the United State Bank over several months. And a Fort Madison man charged in connection with a fatal 2016 accident has pleaded guilty in a settlement with prosecutors. Jury selection was to have started Tuesday in North Lee County Court in the trial of Jordan Heston on charges of homicide by vehicle and causing serious injury by vehicle. Heston decided to take an offer and plead guilty to 1 count of involuntary manslaughter. In return, the other more serious charges were dropped. Prosecutors said the charges stem from an accident in early December 2016 where Heston lost control of his vehicle, slid across the road, and went into a ditch. Vehicle then hit a tree, rolled through a fence, and came to rest on its side in a pasture. 18-year-old Chandler Berry of Fort Madison died from injuries suffered in that accident. That's a look at some of what's going on for you throughout the area. We'll have plenty more for you throughout the afternoon here on WTAD.com and on Twitter at 9:30 a.m. WTAD.
All right. Interestingly, the video shots of the students at Quincy High, looks like the camera has just been set down. Oh, wait a minute. There it goes back onto the students. I'm not sure what was going on there, but for a while it was just a brick wall. But interesting to see the comments for and against that are being posted on KHQA social media site there concerning that walkout. Again, that's at QHS. Don't know about QND
right
now. All right. Very good. Thank you very much, sir. It's about 10:15. We'll take a timeout. And when we come back, 18th Congressional District candidate on the Republican side, Don Reince, next on the News Roundtable.
WTAD.
Welcome back to the News Roundtable, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Very pleased to have joining the News Roundtable this morning candidates on the Republican side for the 18th Congressional District primary coming up in less than a week. Don Reince, who was first introduced to you a few years ago during the special election following the resignation of Aaron Schock. What kind of a journey have you been on since then until now, sir?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Clay. It's been a journey. 2015 was a special election, and, you know, getting the petitions in 16 to 19 days was a journey in and of itself when I've never ran for office before. And it was a learning curve and learning how to do all the different steps and talking to the people and all. And this time around, we had 90 days to get the petitions, and I went around with a small team of my family to get the petitions. I was able to talk to the people myself. You know, we had 1,577 petitions signed, and I got around half of them myself. So it's been interesting, and we've learned. And my wife's my campaign manager, and she's been doing quite well in getting me, you know, into different Lincoln dinners and the different debates that we're going been in and stuff. So it's been a fun journey this time.
Yeah, you are the definition of citizen candidates, and we'll get to where you're going to be later today and tomorrow coming up in just a bit. But this morning, as we were talking about on the first half of the show, there have been student walkouts at schools and apparently even in the Capitol in Springfield today about the shooting in Parkland, Florida. Gun legislation has been, well, I say a national topic. We kind of been shouting over each other for the last month or so, but there is now legislation about, or at least discussion of legislation about bump stocks, types of rifles, age thresholds, not just in Washington, D.C., but Springfield. Where are you on gun legislation?
Well, I'm a Second Amendment supporter. You know, basically, if you wanted it in a nutshell, I would say if they want to change the Second Amendment, then create an amendment to change it. But as far as, you know, my heart goes out to those people who lost their children in the schools. I have children in school. I got a child in grade school, one in junior high, one in high school. I got a total of six children. The other three are in high school now. And it's a sad thing. You know, they need to secure the schools better. And I think, you know, if we would, you know, we didn't have these problems years ago when we had guns back then. So, you know, what's changed from then to now? But I think, you know, it's a sad ordeal. And then, you know, there's, you know, background checks maybe, you know, to some degree. And maybe those who have felonies or mentally ill, you know, have guidelines to restrict them from weapons. But you got to be very careful not to violate that Second Amendment rights for the people in this country.
Our guest this morning on the News Roundtable, Don Reince, running for the 18th Congressional District seat against Darren LaHood in the primary coming up next Tuesday. A quick visit to your website brings up an area where there are surveys to show the differences between you and Darren LaHood. Illinois Family Institute survey on issues has you and Darren LaHood in agreement on 11 of 12 issues. The one issue that they asked about where you differ is House Amendment 1062 to House Resolution 4974 that would allow Veterans Affairs medical professionals to recommend marijuana as medicine. You support it. Darren opposes it. Give me some details there.
Okay. Well, I've talked to medical professionals. I've talked to veterans. And as long as, you know, it's prescribed by a doctor, and it was done in pill form at THC, you know, it's a better alternative than some of the medicines you would use in this place that could harm your body worse. I don't know why not giving the doctors the ability to give you a drug that's maybe not as bad as another drug in order to, you know, maybe pharmaceuticals don't own that rights and patent on marijuana, and maybe, I don't know, maybe that's part of the problem, I don't know. You know, why not allow that to be given to, you know, if it's the best thing to do? And I just, in Illinois we can do it, but not in veteran hospitals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, why are the veterans not being able to access something that the rest of the people are able to access? And that is probably, definitely in some cases, a better alternative. You know, I just don't understand that. And I'm not for, you know, legalized marijuana and recreational marijuana. I'm not for that. You know, this is a legal drug like any other legal, you know, any other drug that would be prescribed by a doctor. So I don't see the issue there at all.
As far as recreational use, there was a Paul Simon Public Policy Institute poll from last week that showed two-thirds of Illinoisans, at least those polled, were in favor of recreational marijuana abuse. I found that number startling. Have you found that to be the case going around the 18th Congressional District?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe that's probably correct. A lot of people don't see it as a harmful drug. They don't see it as, you know, when you compare it to liquor, the effect that it would have on you isn't, you know, some people when they do liquor, they get mad or something. Whereas with marijuana, it's more of a relaxing drug, right, type thing. People are going to use it. But I see the positive side and the possibilities of taxation with it and taking it out of the hands of organized crime so they don't make money off of it, and then making it produced under certain rules in order to have safer, you know, safer marijuana, you know. So there's good things to do if you did legalize it. But me, on a moral issue, I would not legalize marijuana. And I know that may go against some people. And I believe in freedoms in this country. And I think the government ought to stay out of people's lives as best possible. But on this issue, I hope they understand my point, my moral point to stand on it.
Our guest this morning, Don Reince on the News Roundtable. You work in the insurance industry. What is your position on the undoing of the individual mandates of the Affordable Care Act and where the future of the relationship between patient, insurer, healthcare care provider, and government headed?
Well, you know, I work in the insurance industry, but I don't represent the insurance industry. So, you know, I'm not just a citizen running for office here. But as far as my office view, as far as running for Congress, it's, you know, I think open borders between the states in order to have the ability to have better access to the insurance is good. The Obamacare threw a wrench into everything and to me it just kind of ruined everything. So having Obamacare out there and then having to get rid of it, they should have got rid of, you know, I don't know, how do you get the open Pandora's box and how you get everything back in it? And that's the problem. I do agree with, you know, having issues like if you have pre-existing conditions, that's a good thing about the Obamacare Act. That was a good thing that could have been passed on and on its own. But you have to go after where the costs are too. Why does it cost so much, you know, to have a drug sold to somebody here as opposed to another country? You know, if it takes you $60 out of your pocket plus the insurance cost to buy a month's supply of drug here, whereas in another country, say Trinidad or somewhere, it costs you less than $10. Why is that? Why is there such a discrepancy between the two? And I would definitely investigate that if I got in office to why we're so high here. You know, maybe we have to have cap on litigation of some sort. You know, and we got to make sure we keep the companies in check to make sure they're not doing anything wrong to the people. But to have a cap on litigation in order to maybe bring some of the prices down of the insurance, you know, the insurance prices or the medical or the hospital costs down. So we have to look into that, and we have to look at why it costs so much for our care in this country as opposed to other countries.
Our guest is Don Reince this morning on the News Roundtable. I know you have definite beliefs about trade and NAFTA. There is a lot of agriculture that goes on in this district. Where do you come down on that?
Fair trade, not free trade, but fair trade. You know, I'm not for subsidies, so you know, we shouldn't subsidize here, and we don't much. We do it through the insurance program for the farmers. Right, that's how it's done here, and it gets around the World Trade Organization's rules on subsidies. So we pass that test here. But if other countries are subsidizing their grain and we're competing with them, or you know, if they're going to try to sell us grain here because they subsidize it because it's cheaper, then we need to deal with that problem. You know, you get like China, who in the past has, with their honey, has put in rice sugar, and we catch them at it, and then we stop them from sending it to us, and then they send it over to Indonesia. Indonesia relabels it and sends it here. Those are the things we need to watch out for to make sure, you know, that we're not getting a lesser product here at an unfair trade. You know, say a company, say an organization overseas is using software that they haven't paid for, like a Microsoft Windows, and they haven't paid for it. For the licensing, and they're using it, and where we're paying for the licensing over here because we got strict rules, you know, and so, you know, where that's unfair competition. And so those are the things we need to watch and make sure they're not using child labor over there and such. So those are the things to watch for and when we compete on a global scale. Our farmers in this country, especially in central Illinois, are some of the best in the world, I think, and we got some of the best land in the world here, so we're able to compete easily against other nations. You know, on a fair scale.
Very quickly, because we're almost out of time, you have a debate tonight in Jacksonville, but tomorrow night you're going to be in Quincy, right?
That's correct. We'll be at the Lincoln Dinner in Quincy tomorrow night.
All right, so if there are questions that I didn't have time to ask Don Reince about tonight, if you're going to be at that dinner, you can ask him yourself
yep.
tomorrow night. That starts at, I think, the social hour is 5:30, and everything gets underway at 6. If they want to find out, if our listeners want to find out more about you, how can they do that?
They can go to www.reince.net, and or you can go to my Donald Reince for Congress on my Facebook site, and you can send me an email, and I'll do the best to reply. I've been keeping up with them fairly well. There's a couple questions on the Facebook site I haven't answered yet I need to get to, so, but we're running around doing all kinds of stuff, so, you know, and I work for a living yet, so.
We appreciate your time. Don Reince, candidate for the 18th congressional seat in front of the primary next Tuesday. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
That is the Wednesday edition of the News Roundtable. We'll be back here tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. You should be, too.
The News Roundtable will reconvene tomorrow morning at 10:06 a.m. on AM 930 WTAD. Podcast available online at WTAD.com.